without a net today is willingness to be manure. And I think that that is the central notion of all life, that, and this is one of the failings of this culture, is that we have to recognize that we are ultimately someone else's food. And that is one of our primary purposes in life, is to feed someone else. There's a great line about how, I think there was a Charlotte Perkins Gilman. I always get the name confused. Was it Gilman or Gilmore? Anyway, love her work, but I have a brain block on her name. Anyway, Charlotte Perkins Gilman wrote that the Buddha went out and saw that everyone was eating each other and was horrified. And she changed one word, and it was, everyone was feeding each other, and it was beautiful. And this is one of the problems with this culture, is that we perceive, I've said this before, that I remember years ago, I saw an account in a newspaper of a man who had killed his daughter and then put her out in the forest, and she was eaten by wild animals. And the judge was outraged. Well, of course, at the murder, as he should be. But he was also, he said, you left her for wild animals. And I remember thinking, that's not the bad part, you know, that ultimately we're all eaten by someone else. And I recently had a beloved dog die, and I wasn't sure what to do with her body, because she never liked to go beyond this meadow. So I didn't want to put her in the forest, because she wouldn't, that's not where she was used to. And then I remembered that she loved lying on these heather bushes, and she would just lie there in the sun all afternoon. And so I put her there, and over the past couple, 3 months, she has slowly become the heather. And I was thinking about this morning, because I'm going to go a couple of directions. What We Leave Behind ended up being a much different book than what I would have anticipated. And what I wanted the book to be in the first place was an examination of how what happens, how carbon moves through a forest, what would be happening to the dog as she decomposes. So insects eat her, and then they poop, and then the ground eats the poop, and then I wanted to just follow that through. Anyway, what this comes back to with the dogs, and the reason I was thinking about this morning, is that two things. One is that as she's been decomposing, her hair is remaining. And then also, she had a brother, and the brother was completely disconsolate when she died. And he was so, I've never seen a dog so in grief. He couldn't even stand up. And so, like a day or two later, I looked online and found a new dog friend for him at the Humane Society. And that was this dog, who is a wonderful older gentleman. He's 9 years old, 140 pounds. You can't really see much of him. But the reason I was thinking about him this morning is because he's not doing it. He sheds like crazy. And so when we're standing outside, I will pull at his fur and throw it on the ground. And so I've been really wondering, who eats fur? Who eats hair? And how does hair, this is what I wish What We Leave Behind would have been about, is like, so the hair goes in the forest, and then is it bacteria? Is it ground-based bacteria, so that if the fur ends up in a tree, it doesn't get eaten? Because a lot of decomposition happens with contact to the ground. And anyway, so two things. One is, this is something I don't think we think about often enough. And two, this is one of the problems of this culture, is we don't perceive ourselves as someone else's manure, and we don't look forward to the fact, yeah, I don't want to die, but when I die, I sure hope that I get eaten by the soil.